Welcome to Treasures Old and New from American Radio Theater. Hi, I'm Joy Jackson. Once upon a time, a few of us wanted to do a project with Seattle's Hawaiian community. Charlie Chan was the obvious radio show. I was surprised to learn that there was a real-life Chinese detective called Chang Apana, so I went researching for that. We thought we'd try our hand at two short Charlie Chan episodes. Their original broadcast lost back in 1937.
American Radio Theater presents A Lost Old-Time Radio Script, Episode 23 and 24 in The Adventures of Charlie Chan. Based on the character created by Earl Dare Biggers. Strange happenings in Kolpuri. Apparently the journey which Timothy Eden, Nancy, and Denny have made to India has been all in vain. For the stolen ruby, the Eye of Buddha, which they sought to recover, has again mysteriously disappeared. The Raja has shown himself in his true colors, and now they realize their perilous position. Meanwhile, Morton Rand, the stolen ruby again in his possession, has been foiled in his attempt to escape from Kolpuri to Bombay because someone has drained the gas tank of his airplane. In the field where the plane is concealed, Rand now talks with Hamed Yeri and the pilot, Roger Tennant.
This has put us in a very embarrassing position.
If I could get my hands on the guy who drained that tank.
The curse of Allah be upon him. May vultures consume his liver and his children be born without noses.
That's all very gratifying, Hamed, but it's not particularly constructive. The question is, what are we going to do?
There's a little village about 12 miles south of here. Maybe we better start walking.
But will they have gasoline?
Your guess is as good as mine.
Then we'll handle it this way. Tennant, you hike those 12 miles to the village and see what you can do. If you can get the necessary gas, buy it and hire a cart of some sort to carry it back here. If everything goes smoothly, that should take you about 5 or 6 hours.
And what are you going to do?
Hamed Yeri and I will return to the palace and, very cautiously, you understand, look the situation over.
Still got that girl on your mind, eh?
It would be an excellent idea, Tennant, if you stopped trying to mind my business for me.
It happens to be my business, too. We're in this thing together, and if you get jammed up, what happens to me?
Oh, the answer's very simple. You get jammed up, too.
Sure I do, and that's why I don't want any part of it. It's going to be tough enough to make our getaway without any more complications.
Let me get this straight, Tennant. Are you trying to tell me what to do?
I'm telling you what not to do, and you'd better listen.
Then I'm afraid I'm going to have to...
Wait a minute, Rand. You're not going to push me around. If you haven't got me to handle the ship, you know you're never going to get out of Kolpuri alive, don't you?
In other words, you mean that you have the upper hand.
I have, and I'm going to use it.
Meaning?
What's in that little black bag you've been handling so carefully, Rand?
If you insist on knowing, my friend, money.
How much?
A very large sum.
That's swell, because you're giving me half of it.
What makes you think so?
You're much too clever not to. Either we split the dough, and I get the gasoline and take you to Bombay, or we don't, and I don't.
It looks as if Mr. Tennant has us right where he wants us, doesn't it, Hamed?
But, Sahib, you are able...
Now, be quiet, Hamed. Well, Tennant, what do you want me to do?
I'll take Hamed Yeri with me. We'll go to the village and see if we can get the gasoline.
And what becomes of me?
You wait here until we get back. I don't think you'll be foolish enough to try to kidnap the girl from under the Raja's nose single-handed, but just in case of a tie, I'm going to ask you and your ugly-faced friend here to turn over any weapons you may be carrying. You certainly won't go after her unarmed.
So you want my gun, huh?
That's right, Mr. Rand.
Very well, my friend. Take it!
Oh, a clean shot, Sahib.
You wanted to spoil his little moment of triumph by telling him that I knew how to pilot a plane. That was very inconsiderate of you, Ahmed.
1,000 pardons, Sahib.
Well, I'm afraid you're going to have to take that 12-mile hike, Ahmed.
As you say, Sahib.
And while you're gone, I shall return to the palace and see if I can't persuade Miss Adams to accompany us on our journey.
Two guards murdered. A rifled strongroom, a stolen gem, and an open break between Denny and the Raja. In the palace of Ranji Japal, the atmosphere is tense. Pleading a headache, Nancy has gone to her apartment, while in another room, the Raja, Timothy Eden, and Denny talk together.
I'm afraid, Your Highness, we've all been a little hot-headed. I think that just a few moments of quiet discussion...
Unfortunately, I cannot agree with you, Mr. Eden. Mr. Dennis Rand has addressed certain remarks to me in a manner which I am not accustomed to being addressed.
Denny didn't mean anything by it, Your Highness. He's just a hot-headed boy.
I'm sorry, sir, but I can't have you apologizing for me.
In other words, Mr. Dennis Rand, you stand squarely on your own feet, eh? You have said and done certain things, and you alone wish to take the consequences for them. Is that it?
May I point out to you here and now, Your Highness, that these veiled threats of yours don't frighten me in the least.
You are somewhat hot-headed, are you not?
If by hot-headed you mean that I don't stand by quietly while another man makes passes at the girl I love, I guess you're right.
I realize that in saying what I'm about to say, I violate every law of hospitality, but the fact remains that your presence here is the only discordant note in what would otherwise be a delightful situation.
Let me match rudeness with rudeness, Your Highness, and tell you that I'm not here because I want to be.
Charming. Then I feel confident we can work out some way of solving that little difficulty.
Oh, the whole thing will be solved when Mr. Eden, Miss Adams, and I leave here.
Ah, but it is not going to be quite as simple as that, Mr. Rand. You see, Mr. Eden and Miss Adams are not leaving. At least not for the present.
Why, you...
Denny!
You will do well to curb him, Mr. Eden. If I raise my voice to summon the guards outside this door...
There were guards outside the door of your strong room, too. But that didn't stop somebody from...
Wait a minute, Denny. Your Highness, you said that we were not leaving here for the present. I must insist upon an explanation of that remark.
It would be most unwise to continue the discussion in Mr. Denistrand's presence. Mr. Rand, you have our permission to retire.
Oh, no, you don't. You'll talk, and you'll talk in front of me.
Yes, Master?
Escort Tran Sahib to his apartment.
Yes, Master.
I tell you, I'm not going to put up with this.
And see to it that a guard is placed outside his door so that nothing is permitted to disturb him. You understand, Deka?
Yes, Master.
Then go to the apartment of the young Memsab and ask her if she will be so kind as to join Mr. Eden and myself here.
Yes, Master.
And now, Mr. Dennis Rand, I repeat that you have our permission to retire. Will you go quietly, or shall I have my servants drag you out?
Go ahead, Denny. I'll take care of this.
Very well, sir. And Your Highness?
Yes?
Let me leave one little thought with you. If anything happens to Nancy, there aren't enough guards in your whole rotten palace to keep my hands off your throat.
Now, Mr. Eden. Enter. What is it, Ramdas?
A holy man has come, Master. A lama from Tibet. He is here with his chela, his disciple.
What is that to me?
His disciple asks me to say that the lama seeks an immediate audience with you.
I cannot see him now. See that they are given food and have them wait.
The chela bade me tell you that his master bears a message of the gravest importance.
A message? Mr. Eden, will you forgive me for a moment if I speak with this man?
Certainly, Highness.
Then we can resume our most interesting discussion. Bring in the holy man, Ramdas.
Yes, Master.
A strange race, the Tibetans, Mr. Eden. One feels almost as if they came from another world.
If what I've read about their country is true, it is another world. They say that
The Lama, Sheng Lo Shen, and his disciple, Tsien Po.
Greetings, Cheng Lo Chen.
From my master, the most holy Cheng Lo Chen, to Ranji Japal, Raja of Kolpuri, protector of the pitiful and defender of the oppressed. Greetings.
Your master is dumb, Tsien Po. That you must speak for him?
My master is not dumb, O most powerful one, but he has taken a vow of silence.
Why should he do this thing?
Because there came to him a vision in his desolate cell at our monastery at Tashilampo, a vision concerning you, O mighty Raj.
Oh, a vision concerning me?
And he swore that no words would pass his lips until he had told you of this vision. A long way we have come from far away, Chuan Ben, crossing mountains, rivers, and plains in our land and in yours. And all the while, my master's lips have been sealed.
So? And will he speak now?
I will speak, Ranji Jaipal.
Oh, tell me then. What was this vision which came to you?
I saw you lying cold in death, O Raj. And in my ears there spoke a voice which said, thus will it be with Ranji Jaipal, unless he heeds the warning.
The warning?
The curse which follows the eye of Buddha is upon you, Ranji Jaipal. You must...
Master!
Yes, Deka?
I went to the apartment of the young Memsahib as you bade me do. I knocked and knocked again. When no answer came, I opened the door.
Yes?
The room was in disorder, O Master, showing signs of struggle, but that was all I could discover.
You mean that Miss Adams...
The young Memsahib has disappeared.
Nancy has disappeared. Has the infamous Morton Rand struck again? Has Charlie Chan and his disguise as the holy man arrived too late? Or can he save her? Don't fail to hear the next exciting chapter of The Adventures of Charlie Chan. Based on the character created by Earl Dare Biggers. Just as Charlie Chan and Lee, disguised as a Tibetan holy man and his disciple, arrive at the palace of Ranji Jaipal, Raja of Kolpuri, the startling discovery is made that Nancy has been mysteriously spirited away.
Great Master, I went to the apartment of the young Memsahib as you bade me do. I knocked and knocked again. When no answer came, I opened the door and...
Yes? Continue.
The room was in disarray, Master, showing signs of his struggle. But this was all I could discover.
You mean that Miss Adams...
The young Memsahib has disappeared.
Nancy has disappeared?
By Allah! Someone shall pay for this. Where is Mr. Dennis Rand?
In his apartment, Master.
Conduct him here at once.
Yes, Master.
And you, old man, you must leave, taking your disciple with you. My servants will see to it that you are provided with...
On the contrary, Your Highness, I shall remain. It may be that my humble efforts can be of some assistance in present emergency.
What does this mean?
This man is no lama, Your Highness. He's Inspector Chan of the Honolulu Police, one of the greatest detectives in the world. And with him is his son, Lee Chan. And thank heavens he's here.
If the illustrious one can forgive innocent deception practiced in worthy cause and render fullest cooperation, rapid progress may be achieved.
Very well, Mr. Chan. But at a later date, I shall assuredly demand an explanation.
It shall be forthcoming, Your Highness. But now must work with all possible haste. Must ask you to quickly supply me with all information available.
It's Morton Rand's work. I know it is.
Mr. Morton Rand has been here, please?
He has.
How recently, please?
He left here yesterday.
After you had purchased from him ruby known as Eye of Buddha?
Isn't that question unnecessary, Mr. Chan? You knew I had the stone.
Referring doubtless to warning vision which came to holy man in desolate cell?
Exactly.
Sometimes, Your Highness, in life's great poker game, bluff extremely valuable.
I see.
Here is the young Rand, Sahib, Master.
Come in, Mr. Dennis Rand. Oh, you know Inspector Chan, do you not?
Inspector Chan?
Mr. Dennis Rand merely advancing with cautious feet, like elephant crossing strange bridge. Is that not so, Mr. Denny?
Charlie! I was never so glad to see anyone in my life. How in the world did you...
No time for questions now, Denny. Something dreadful has happened.
What's wrong?
Nancy has disappeared.
Disappeared?
I know you do not trust me, but please do me the honor of believing that I am in no measure responsible for this great misfortune.
But where could she have...
Question we were attempting to solve at moment of your arrival, Mr. Denny. You were saying, Your Highness, that Mr. Morton Rand left here yesterday. He traveled, of course, by airplane.
He did. He said he was returning to Paris as speedily as possible.
You saw him depart with own eyes?
Yes.
Who was with him, please?
The pilot and another man known as Hamed Yeri.
Please relate what occurred next.
I was privileged to welcome Miss Adams, Mr. Eden, and Mr. Dennis Rant as my guests. We talked for a time, and later that afternoon, after they had gone to their apartments, the two men who guarded the room in which my treasures are kept were killed.
How, please?
Hacked to death with their own swords.
And the treasure room was robbed?
Several things were taken, yes.
Among them, no doubt, Eye of Buddha?
That is correct, Mr. Chan.
Crime bears unmistakable imprint of Hand of Morton Rand. Please continue.
Tonight at dinner, when I told Mr. Eden what had occurred, Mr. Dennis Rand saw fit to disbelieve me. Hot words passed between us, and I was compelled to ask him to retire.
Hot blood of extreme youth has tendency to boil up, also heating words when it does so.
Miss Nancy had retired to her apartment. Then you arrived. The rest, you know.
Well, I had reason to despise Morton Rand before, but if he's taken Nancy away with him, I'll never...
Confronting us not too difficult, I think. Mr. Morton Rand and Mr. Hamed Yeri not getting very far away.
But with a plane, Charlie?
Crippled bird cannot fly very high. Plane of Mr. Morton Rand quite seriously crippled, I believe.
How'd you know that?
During long and wearisome walk, which Lee Chan and I achieved before arriving in Kolpuri, we observed plane standing in field. Spectacle most unusual for this country, indicating probable, forgive expression please, dirty work. In effort to circumvent same, took precaution of opening stopcock on fuel tank, permitting gasoline to rush forth.
But can't he get more gasoline?
Same is doubtless procurable, but perhaps delay which this will occasion may prove valuable to us.
Mr. Chen, the field in which the plane stood, where was it?
Approximately 7 very long and very dusty miles from your palace, Highness.
Then we'll go at once.
An excellent idea. I'm exceedingly anxious to have long heart-to-heart talk with Mr. Morton Rand.
You don't know how sorry I am, Nancy, to have to subject you to the inconvenience of this long, hot, and excessively dusty walk. But you must realize that we couldn't possibly have remained in the immediate vicinity of the palace. Nor could we have borrowed one of my good friend Ranji Jaipal's automobiles without a great many explanations.
I would be grateful, Mr. Rand, if you just wouldn't try to be bright and chatty. You know how I feel about you, so you must know that nothing you can say can be of the slightest interest to me.
Come now, my dear, aren't you being just a little ungracious? After all, I did go to a great deal of trouble to make our little trip together possible. So you persist in being sullen, eh? Very well. Then it won't be a conversation. I shall have to content myself with merely telling you what we're going to do. You see, unfortunately, we're out of gas. Some meddlesome fool drained the tank. And so one of my men has gone to see what he can do about procuring some from a nearby village. Once we refuel and are on our way, I can promise you a series of completely delightful adventures. Let's see. We'll go to Egypt first, Nancy. After that, London, Vienna, New York, any place your heart desires. And you shall...
Don't you realize that you're talking like a maniac? Even if you do manage to get away from here, what do you suppose I'll be doing the moment you put the plane down to refuel?
You, my dear, will be resting, comfortably, I hope, on the floor of the cockpit with your hands and feet firmly bound and a most efficient gag in that pretty little mouth of yours. You see, I don't want to take any chances on losing so charming a traveling companion.
You'll never get away with this.
That, of course, remains to be seen. At least we've made a decent start. Look, down the road there, an ox cart loaded with cans. Hamed Yeri has done his job well. Nice work, Hamed.
I was fortunate, Sahib. They had much fuel in that little village. But we must pay high for it.
It's worth every penny it costs. Come on, get the stuff off the cart and into the tank. Oh, by the way, Hamed, this is Miss Adams. She doesn't talk very much, but you're going to have to get accustomed to that, because she's going to be with us for a very long time.
What about the other Sahib?
Oh, you mean our rash young friend, the pilot?
Yes, Sahib.
We'll leave him here, Hamid, as a very vivid demonstration of what happens to anyone who tries to cross up Norton Rand.
We are approaching spot where we discover airplane, Highness.
You mean the field on the right?
Yes.
There's nothing there now.
Oh, nothing but a big pile of branches.
We should investigate, I think. Yes, this was place. Here are marks made when plane land. And here, unfortunately, marks made when it leaves again. Must apologize for lack of forethought in insufficiently crippling bird.
Nancy, my poor Nancy.
Do not despair, please. We may still...
Charlie, look here, under this pile of leaves.
By Allah, it is the pilot who brought Rand here.
Courtesy which Mr. Morton Rand has repaid with well-aimed bullet between eyes.
And that man has Nancy in his power.
Charlie, what can we do?
Your Highness can inform us as to nearest city-possessing airport.
Rand will probably head for Bombay.
Your Highness is also fortunate possessor of large airplane, I think.
My plane and my pilot are at your disposal, Mr. Chan.
You are most kind. We will return to the palace with all possible speed, take advantage of most generous offer, and follow Mr. Morton Rand to Bombay.
But has Rand gone to Bombay? And if so, can Charlie Chan hope to find him there in time to save Nancy from his clutches? Don't fail to hear the next exciting chapter of The Adventures of Charlie Chan. You have been listening to American Radio Theater in their version of a lost old-time radio play, The Adventures of Charlie Chan, episodes 23 and 24. In our cast, you heard Kim Turner as Timothy Eden, Liz Roach as Nancy, Dan Schindler as Denny Rand, Ken Lees as Morton Rand, Terry Elder as Hamed Yeti, Dave Lees as Roger Tennant, Linda Rasmussen was servant Day Ta, Danny Bissonette as Servant Ram Dass, Greg Porter as Charlie Chan, Pat McNally as Lee. Music by Kevin McLeod at www.incompetech.com. Live sound effects by Beth Schlansky and Kay Lutz. Directed and produced by Joy Jackson. This Charlie Chan serial was broadcast in 1937. All copies of the broadcast are lost. I'm Moki O'Reilly, your announcer, who you also heard as the Raja. This is ART, American Radio Theater.
Let's have a listen to some music from the days of old-time radio.
Chrysler. When you see it, you'll say,
ooh!
Chrysler. When you sit in it, you'll say,
ooh!
Chrysler. When you drive it, you'll say, your neighborhood Chrysler dealer presents the Sammy Kay Showroom.
Hello, everyone. This is Sammy Kay. Thank you, thank you. And a great big welcome to Swing and Sway Time in our Chrysler Showroom. From the north, south, east, and west, we've got the tunes that you like best.
Powder your face with sunshine. Thank you.
big smiles on three handsome guys, the dashing 3K Dents.
Powder your face with sunshine, put on a great big smile, make up your eyes with laughter. Folks will be laughing with you in a little while. Whistle a tune of gladness. Never was in style. The future's brighter when hearts are lighter. Smile, smile, smile. Don't be so gloomy. Smile, smile, smile. Just keep on laughing. Smile, smile, smile.
Most everyone has a hobby, and I'm no exception. I like to collect the songs from the past that really last. And from those tattered, dusty manuscripts, Tony Alamo sings.
If I loved you time and again, I would try to say all I'd want you to know. If I loved you, words wouldn't come in an easy way. Round in circles I'd go. Longing to tell you, but afraid and shy. I'd let my golden chances pass me by. Soon leave me, off you would go in the midst of day. Never, never to know.
Featuring the really fine trombone of Mervyn Gold, it's Cole Porter's Night and Day.
Thank you.
The other day, Laura Leslie and Don Cornell, America's sweethearts, made a new Victor recording. And here it is, the Chrysler Song of the Week.
I really can't stay.
But baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go
but
away.
But baby, it's cold outside.
This evening is
been hoping that you drop
so
in.
Nice.
I'll hold your hands. They're just like
my
ice.
Mother will start to worry.
Beautiful, what's your
and
hurry?
Father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to the fireplace
so
roar.
Really, I'd better scurry.
Beautiful, please don't
well, maybe
hurry.
Just a half a drink
put
more.
Some records on while I pour.
The neighbors might
but baby, it's a bad out there.
Say, what's in this
no caps
tea?
To be had out there.
I wish I knew.
Your eyes are like starlight now.
Break the
I'll take your hat. Your hair looks swell.
I ought to say no, no, no,
mind
sir.
If I move in
at
closer?
At least I'm gonna say that I tried.
What's the sense of hurting my pride?
I really can't
oh,
stay.
Baby, don't hold out.
Baby,
it's cold outside.
I've got to get
but
home.
Baby, you'd freeze out there.
Say, lend me a
it's up to your knees out there.
You've really been
a thrill when you touch my hand.
But don't you see?
How can you do this thing to
there's
me?
There's bound to be talk tomorrow.
Think of my lifelong
at
sorrow.
At least there will be plenty in time.
If you caught pneumonia and
I really can't
get
stay.
Over that old doubt.
Baby,
it's cold outside. Ah, oh, but it's cold outside.
Let's forget what I've been saying.
You mean that you're staying?
Baby, it's cold outside.
With the smoothness of that Chrysler Prestomatic fluid drive transmission, I said it, and I'm glad. Here are the 3K debts.
If I said a rose to you for every time you made me blue, you'd have a room full of roses. If I said a rose of white for every time I cried all night, you'd have a room. Some roses too.
time for you to take a rest and listen to the tunes you like best from the north, east, south, and west.
That certain party
come the dashing three cadets.
Has she got naughty eyes? Yes, she has got naughty eyes.
Oh,
that's certain.
Oh,
that's certain party.
Oh.
You know the one I mean. Sure, you know the one I mean.
Oh,
that's certain party of mine. Naughty eyes, turned up nose, rosy cheeks. Pretty close, not a smarty. Has she got loving ways? Sure she has got loving ways.
Oh,
that certain party of mine.
Gin Rummy player east of the Rockies. But he's a swell guy with a fine voice. Our own Don Cornell.
Listen and you can hear the whispering waters telling you love is near, the whispering waters. While the night goes drifting by, we'll speak to you of love, the river and I. Say that you understand the whispering waters. This little scene was planned in heavenly quarters. Golden dreams are standing by. Yours for the taking at the drop of a sigh. Whispering waters, whispering words of love, the river and I.
One of the most wonderful old tunes in our collection of past hits that we call our Dusty Manuscripts is Sweet and Lovely, Just Like a Spice. You know, youngsters are always asking me how to be successful in show business. Well, the only answer I know is to work just a little harder, a little longer, and a lot better than the next fellow. Arm in arm and liking each other's company very much, here are America's sweethearts. Good-looking Don Cornell and lovely little Laura Leslie. The song you asked for.
Hey, you're adorable. Be you're so beautiful. Say you're a cutie full of charm.
Be you're a darling and be you're exciting and that be you're a feather in my
good to me, ain't you so heavenly, are you the one I idolize?
Day we're like Jack and Jill, okay, you're so kissable, hell is the love light in your eyes.
M-N-O-P, I could go on all day.
W-X-Y-Z.
It's fine to wander through the alphabet with you to tell you what you mean to me.
Listening to the radio in my beautiful new Chrysler. And I heard our Victor recording of this number played by this jockey. He commented that Tony Alamo and the boys did a swell job. And who might argue?
You ask where I live. Here's the address I give. The four winds and the seven seas. The hills were my home. Till I started to roam the four winds and the seven seas. My love and I would sit and sigh till the moon grew pale. We vowed and said someday and a stranger stepped down, a smiling so my love could see. She answered his smile, and then after a while, the only stranger there. Follow seven seas.
Coming at you with a song about a Galveston gal are the Three Cadets and Don Cornell.
I got a gal, gal, gal in Galveston. Got a real true gal in the Galveston. Oh, her hair is golden spot and much brighter than the Texas sun. I'm going back to my gal in Galveston. I'm going back to the purple sage and stay forevermore. Going back to the prairie and the one that I adore. I got a gal, gal, gal in Galveston. How I love that gal in the Galveston. I keep thinking of the time when those happy wedding bells will chime for lucky me and my gal in the Galveston. From our dusty manuscripts takes me back to summers on Lake Erie when I was at Rocky River High School. And you know, I'll bet it brings back memories for you, too. Moonlight Bay. Another dusty manuscript made modern by the singing of Tony Alamo.
That's all I want to know.
and what they're saying. Say it isn't so.
South, east, and west, you won't find a happier song than this one sung by Laurel Leslie.
I'm as corny as Kansas in August. I'm as normal as blueberry pie. No more smart little girl with no heart. I have found me a wonderful guy. I am in a conventional dither with a conventional star in my eye. And you will note there's a lump in my throat when I speak of that wonderful guy. I'm as bright and as gay as a daisy in May cliche coming true. I'm bromidic and bright as a moon happy night pouring light on the dew. High as a flag on the 4th of July. If you'll excuse an expression I use, I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love with a wonderful girl. Flag on the 4th of July. If you'll excuse an expression I use, I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love with a wonderful girl. The South Pacific and heard the number Bally High, right away I pictured it for Don Cornell, the K-Deaths, and the K-Choir.
Bally High may call you any night, any day. In your heart you'll hear it call you, come away. Come away, Bally High will whisper on the wind of the sea. Here am I, your special island. Come to me, come to me. Your own special home. Your own special dream. Bloom on the hillside and shine in the stream. If you try, you'll find me where the sky meets the sea. Here am I, your special island. Come to me, come to me. Bally high, bally high, bally high. My head sticking out from a low flying cloud. You'll hear me call you, singing through the sunshine, sweet and clear as can be.
That's all the time I've got. Please stop by AmericanRadioTheater.org and have a listen to our podcast. We put up a new one every month. A group of us gather at RadioOutOfThePast.org on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Pacific and Saturday at 6 p.m. Pacific for friendship and to listen to everyone's favorite old-time radio shows. See you there.